Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the fifth wide line of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, or if you prefer, 17 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikla Lebei Avioni. Rav Huna traveled, went to a place called Bei Avioni. Osulakame de Rava. He came to Rava. Omale Klum Maise Bo Liodcha. And he asked him, did any incident requiring your decision come your way? Amalei. So he answered, Yisrael shansu oivdei kechavim vehero momoin chavero ba liodi v'chiyavtiv. An incident involving a Jew that was forced by an idol worshipper to show him money, property of a Jew. That case came to me, and the Jew capitulated with the idol worshipper and showed him some other Jew's money. The Chiyavtiv and I obligated that Jew to compensate the Jew that lost his money. Amarle, so he said back, Ahader Uvda Lemore, you have to reverse the judgment. In other words, you obligated the Jew subjected to the pressure of the idol worshipper to pay, to compensate the Jew that suffered the loss, you have to reverse that decision. In other words, that's a mistake. The Sanya, Yisrael Shansuhu Oivdei Kechavim Vera Mamon Chavero Potter. A Jew that was forced by idol worshippers to show them another Jew's money that they would then confiscate, well, he's exempt. We dashed underline Potter in contrast with the Chiyavtiv, the line before which we dashed underline. So you see from this Tanaic source that he is innocent. V'im notal v'nosan v'yad chayav. If the Jew took the money belonging to that other Jew and gave it to the idol worshipper, then he would be chayav. That is called matzil atzmoi b'mamon chavera. That's an attempt to save yourself with someone else's money, which is forbidden. And if one does that, so he has to pay. Omar Rabo im hera me atzmo. If a Jew pointed out another Jew's money without being subjected to force, kenosa v'nosan v'yadomi. That's tantamount to taking it physically from the Jew and giving it to the idol worshipper. The crown marking appears and is explained on the side. Maisim, there are more will represent incidents. Shamashutif lahem, the common theme between all of these incidents is inyan shel moiser, is the issue of handing over, pointing out Jewish property to Gentiles, to authorities, to be confiscated. We recommend looking at the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, where the term V'hamasoros appears, and see how severe an offense this is. We now turn back to the Gemara. Hahu Gavra De Ansuhu Ovde Kechovim, was a person subjected to force by idol worshippers. The Achvi Achamra the Rav Mori Bray, the Rav Pinchas Bray, the Rav Chisda. And as a result, he pointed to wine belonging to Rav Mori. Omru Le, Dori V'Amti Bahadon. The idol worshippers said, we want you to pick up and carry it with us. Dora V'Amti Bahadayu. He cooperated with these evil idol worshippers and carried away the wine belonging to Rav Mori. Also, the Kamei de Rav Ashi, Patrine. This case came to Rav Ashi and he exempted that individual. Omar Le Rabbanan the Rav Ashi. The Rabbanan questioned Rav Ashi's ruling. V'hotanya. This geometric form, the volcano shape, is introduced and explained on the side. Kushios al Piskoi Shel Rav Ashi. These are questions, attempts to ask on Rav Ashi's ruling. So we ask, V'hotanya, have we not learned? Im Nosa V'nosan Bayad Chayav. That if the one pointing out the Momon Yisrael to the Gentile, to the idol worshipper, actually physically transferred the items, he then bears guilt. And here you see him, that individual, picking up Rav Mori's wine and giving it to the idol worshippers. So why do you rule Potter innocent, exempt? Omale, Rav Ashi responded, Hani Mili, the point that in Nosav and Nosav Biad is Chayav, that if he physically transferred the ownership, he is guilty. Hani Mili Hecha Dolo Ukme Iluya Mekora. That's where the idol worshiper didn't place the Jew upon it initially. We look at the Rashi across from here, a line or two up. Hecha Dolo Ukminhu Ha'itik Rechavim Avamomon Mekora Al Yedei Ha'ines Elaholach V'notal V'nosnoi Lohem. The Tanaic source that says Imnosa V'nosan Biad is guilty is where he wasn't forcibly placed upon the Jewish money at the outset. Rather, he went and gave it to them. Avolhocha Dukminu Al Hayayin. But in this particular case where they initially forced him to point out the wine, Kalya, that's as if the wine has been burnt, has been destroyed at that point. Vahi shaita potter ki amti su didhu amti. And as far as the initial pointing out, we said he's innocent. He doesn't bear any financial guilt for having pointed it out. And the further carrying that he did afterwards was in effect carrying theirs, the idol worshippers, wine at that point. At that point, it's simply considered destroyed, certainly not. It's considered as if it's gone from Rav Mori already at that point. So Rav Ashi maintains his ruling of potter, of exemption. Let's read that again in the Gemara. Omar Le Hani Mili, the teaching of Im Nosa V'Nosam Biyad Chayav is Hecha De Lo Ukme Iluya Meikora. Avol Hecha De Ukme Iluya Meikora, but where they put the Jew upon that money initially, or in this case the wine initially, Mikle Kalya, at that point it's considered gone, literally it's considered burnt up. And then the subsequent carrying of it is not as if he's carrying Rav Mori's wine anymore. Esve Rabbi Avol L'Rav Ashi. Rabbi Avol raises an objection. Omar lo anos hoshit li paki omir ze o eshkol anovim ze. A ruffian demands, hand me this ball of wool, or hand me this cluster of grapes, and it's belongs to someone else. V'hoshitlo, and he hands it to him. Chayav, he is guilty. Now the Rashi across from here says Chayav. V'afagav dekoy akum agabi hamomon. Even though the idol worshipper is standing upon the money, the items, the wool, the grapes, the Jew that hands it to him is guilty. So from this we see that even though the wool or the grapes is considered as good as gone before the Jew hands it to the ruffian, when the Jew hands it to the ruffian, he is guilty. The Gemara responds that this Tanaic source is not talking in reality about a case where the idol worshiper or the ruffian is upon the wool or the grapes. Hoch v'mayaskinon, here that he's chayav, kegon dekoy betrei avrei naro. They are two opposite sides of a river, a rather narrow river, but enough such that the ruffian, the anos, who's on the other side, can't reach the wool or the grapes without the Jew handing it to them. And as a result, the Jews handing it to them is really that which destroys it, that deprives the owner of it. Daikonami, by careful reading of the source, you can see this is the explanation. Dekotoni hoishit. Hoishit means he stretched out his arm in handing it over. Velo toni tain. The Anno said, hoshitli, hand it to me in the outstretched fashion, instead of using the word tain, which would mean a close-by handing over of the item. Shmamino, through this precision in use of words, we see that it's really tre evre nora, two opposite sides of a river. Hahu shuta. A shuta is a trap used for catching fish or animals. Hahu shuta, the havu minsu alo betre. There were two that were fighting over it. Hai omar didi hu, vahai omar didi hu. This one said it's mine, and the other one said it's mine. Ozo chad minayu umosro lefarhagno de malcho. One of them gave it over to the king's troops. Omar Abaye, Yochol Omar, Abaye says in doing so he's not guilty because he can claim, Ano, ki masri, didi masri, that which I gave over to them, I gave over my own thing. Omar le Rava v'chol kemine, Rava says, what, it's so, he has the power to exempt himself with that claim? Elo Omar Rava, mishamtinon le, ademaisi le v'koi bedino. We excommunicate the one that gave it over to the king's troops until he brings it, retrieves it, and enters a court, deliberation. And now we have an incident. You'll notice we have a long marking. And on the side under our topic heading, Maisa Sheboi Rav Kahana Horag Moiser. V'achaka Golul Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see an incident where Rav Kahana killed a Moser. Moser is the one who gives over Mamon Yisrael. And then we see him exiling himself to the land of Israel. Rav Kahana started off in Bovel. This incident, as we said, is accompanied by a long marking, which takes you down a number of lines down the top of Omid Beis. Hahu gavro dehavaboy achvuye ativno dechavrei. There was a Jew that wanted to point out the straw of his friend to some ruffians or idol worshippers to take away. Also lekame derav, and the case, the incident came to Rav's attention. Amalei lo techvi v'lo techvi. Rav said to the one threatening to show it to point it out, don't do so. Don't lo techvi. Don't point it out to the avodah zarah, to the idol worshippers. Amalei machvino umachvino, and that recalcitrant individual said, "I'm going to do so. I am certainly going to do so." Yosef Rav Kahana kamei d'Rav. Rav Kahana was seated in the presence of Rav, and he became irate that in the face of this man's insolent behavior, shante l'kuei mine, he broke the man's neck. He killed him. Rav Kahana killed this this recalcitrant individual. Kori Rav Iluya, Rav referred to Rav Kana's situation right now. Bonecha ulfu shachfu barosh kolchutzos keto michmor. And we'll now the Gemara explains what the point of Rav's citing this posuk is. Ma toy, toy is the name of an animal, also it's an undomesticated animal, it's called shor habar, the undomesticated ox, wild ox. Kevon de shenofal b'michmor, once it falls into a trap, ein merachmen olav, there is no mercy shown to it. Af momon she Israel, so too, with regard to Jewish money, kevon shenofal b'yad uvdi kechavim, once it falls into the hands of idol worshippers, ein merachmen olav, they have no mercy over it. And that, and the Jew that that suffers the loss is certainly not going to see his money again. Tosfos points out what Rav is saying is, Rav Kahana, you did a good thing. You stopped the by killing this guy. You stopped the Momon Yisrael from being handed over to the idol worshippers. Amale Rav. Rav now turns to Rav Kahana and says, Kahana, Ad ho'idno havel parsoi de lo kapti ashvichus domim. Until now, the ruling authorities were Persian, who were not so concerned, were not so upset over cases of murder. In other words, up till now, you would have been able to get away with it. V'hashto iko yivonoi de kapti ashvichus domim. But now, in the seat of rulership, you have Greeks, and they are particular, they are concerned with shvichus domim, with cases of death, of murder. V'amri mardin mardin, and they're going to proclaim you as a murderer. Kum sok la'aro di Yisrael. Get up and go up to the land of Israel. Leave Bovel, where we are now. V'kobel aloch, and accept upon yourself when you get Eretz Yisrael. Dolo tikshi l'Rabbi Yochanan sheva shanim. Rabbi Yochanan was the leading Amoraic figure in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and maybe as a means of preserving Rabbi Yochanan's dignity, Rav insisted that Rav Kahana not raise or not challenge any of the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. Ozil, Rav Kana went, Ashkeche, the Reish Lakish, the Yosef, the Komisayim, the Sifta, the Yoimo, the Rabbanon. He found Reish Lakish, who was a great scholar, and he reviewed the lectures of Rabbi Yochanan with the other rabbis. Omar Lahu, and Rav Kana asked Reish Lakish, Hecha, where is Reish Lakish? Omru le amai, and they asked him, why do you want to know where he is? Now the Gemara is a bit terse, but let us assume from the context that Rav Kahana, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he heard Reish Lakish's review of the discourse offered by Reb Yochanan, and a number of questions arose in Rav Kahana's mind. And Rav Kana wants to raise the questions to Reish Lakish. So he wants to know, where is he? Amar Lahu. So Rav Kana, in response to the question, they asked, why do you want to know where Reish Lakish is? He said, Rav Kana said, Hai Kushya, Vahai Kushya. This is a question, this is a question. Vahai Piruka, Vahai Piruka. And this is an answer, and this is an answer. In other words, he had a lot of comments to make on the lecture that Reish Lakish presented as the review of Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Amru le Reish Lakish. Well, they told Reish Lakish that Rav Kahana has a lot of questions, he has answers. Ozal Reish Lakish, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, upon hearing this, he went and told Rabbi Yochanan the following. Ari Olami Bavel, a lion has risen from Bavel. A lion, meaning a reference to a great scholar, namely Rav Kahana, has come from Bavel. Lion Marbe Mesifta the Lamochar, be very diligent and scrupulous concerning your lecture for tomorrow. Lamochar Oisvua Bedora Kama Kameda Rabbi Yochanan. Then the next day they sat Rav Kahana in the first row in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Shmaitzavalakshi. Rav Yochanan started lecturing, no questions from Rav Kahana. Continued talking, again, no questions from Rav Kahana. Bear in mind that Rav Kahana had accepted Rav's condition not to raise questions for 7 years. Anchase Achure Sheva Dori, Ad Oisve Bedora Basra. As a result, they saw that this Rav Kahana has really nothing to say and doesn't deserve to sit in the prominent first row, and they lowered him, demoted him back numerous rows until he reached the seventh row, which is the last row of those seated in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Omale Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Ari Shamarta Naase Shual. The lion that you said has become a fox. The imagery of a fox, I think you could appreciate a little more if you look in Maseches Sota Daf Yud, where the fox is described as an animal that, when threatened, it backs away. And here the imagery of Rav Kahana being placed back 7 rows. So the lion has become a fox. Omar Le Omar, Rav Kahana, having experienced this, it's a terribly insulting situation, embarrassing situation. Rav Kahana said, Yehi Ravo, that's in Aramaic what you would say in Hebrew, Yehi Rotzon. Let it be thy will, the Hani Sheva Dori, these 7 rows, Levul Chiluv Sheva Shonin, the Omerli Rav, be in place of the 7 years of silence that Rav had bound me to. So he, after making that, we'll say that exchange, he's no longer bound to remain silent. The 7 rows that he was sent back to is a fulfillment of the requirement. So he fulfilled his requirement to Rav. Koma kare, he arose. Amalei Rav Kahana said, Nehadam Rav Resha, kindly go back to the beginning. Omar Shmaitzo, so Rav Yochanan went and started from the beginning, and Vakshi and Rav Kahana raised the question. Ukme Bedora Kamov. He was placed back in the first row. Omar Shmaitzo Vakshi, and this scene continued. Rav Yochanan continued his teaching, and Rav Kahana raised a question. Rav Yochanan Havi Yosef Asheva Bistarki. Rav Yochanan, in giving his lecture, was seated upon 7 cushions. Shalfi le chala bistarka mituse. And now that Rav Kahana was already at the front row, and this was continuing Rav Yochanan teaching information, teaching Torah, and Rav Kahana continuing with his questions. Shalfi le chala bistarka mituse. One cushion was removed from underneath Rav Yochanan. Amar shmeitzav akshi. The same thing continued. The Akshile, and Rav kind of continued with his questions. Ad Shafile Kulu Bistarki Mituse, until all of the cushions were removed from Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, the lowering or the demotion, if you will, of Rabbi Yochanan to a lower level in the form of cushion removals. Ad the Yosef Al Aron, until Rabbi Yochanan himself ended up sitting on the floor. Rabbi Yochanan Gavro Sava Have U Misruchi Givine. Rabbi Yochanan was an elderly person, and as is characteristic of some elderly people, his eye lashes were quite long, and they covered his eyes. It may be more accurately, his eyebrows had grown quite long, and the hair from his eyebrows covered his eyes. Omar Lahu, he told those around him, Dolu li einai ve'achzei. literally lift up my eyes so that I can see who it is that's sitting here. They used a silver mekalta. Mekalta is a device used for applying different types of ointments, salves to one's eyes. It's a mikhol, and they used that device, if you will, just for simplicity purposes, they used a silver tweezers to lift his eyes, his eyebrows, enabling him to see. Chaza de parte sifsifse. He noticed that Rav Kahana had what we'll see is a split upper lip. Sover achuch kamachaych be. Rabbi Yochanan thought that Rav Kahana was laughing at him. In other words, this physical deformity gave the impression of a smirk. Cholash daite, Rabbi Yochanan felt bad, felt insulted, felt belittled. V'noch nafshe, and Rav Kahana died. L'mochar omar lehu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanan. The next day Rabbi Yochanan says to the Rabbanan, Chazisu lebavlo hechovid. Did you see how that Babylonian conducted himself? How he ridiculed me? How he smirked or laughed at me? Amulei, he wasn't laughing at you. Darkei hachi, that's his normal look. So you can imagine Rabbi Yochanan's feeling of remorse right now. Ol legabe marata. He went to the marata, the ma'ora. That's a burial cave. He went to the place that they had buried, that they had brought the body of Rav Kahana. Chaza dehave, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hadrale achna. Rabbi Yochanan noticed that there was a serpent that was wound around with its the end of its tail in its mouth, blocking the entrance to the ma'ora. Amarle, Rabbi Yochanan said, achna achna psach pumech v'yachnis harav etzel talmid. Open your mouth, meaning releasing your tail from your mouth, enabling the entranceway to the cave passable, so that the teacher, meaning himself, can go to the Talmud, to Rav Kahana. Follow Pasach, and the serpent did not cooperate. It didn't open up. Yachnis yikones chover etzel chover. So Rabbi Yochanan said to the serpent, so that a friend can go greet a friend. Follow Pasach, and he didn't cooperate. Yikones talmid etzel Rav. So then Rav Yochanan said, so that the student, referring to himself, can go to him, Rav Kahana, the teacher. Oh, upon hearing that, a declaration of true humility, Pasach lehi, the serpent opened up, bo rachami v'ukme, Rav Yochanan prayed and restored Rav Kahana to life. Omar lehi, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ihave yadana de darke de mor hochi lo chol shadati." Had I known that look of yours was your normal look, I wouldn't have felt bad. Hashdole simar bahadon. So now come back with us. Omale, Rav Kahana said, "Imotzis lemivi rachmi de su lo shachivna azilna." If you can pray that I will not die anymore. In other words, that in my asking a question, I won't be endangering myself anymore. So I'll get up and go with you to the base medrash. V'lo, and if you can't accomplish that, if you can't pray for my remaining alive in the future after I ask questions, then lo azilna, I'm not going to go back with you. The cholif shaita cholif. The moment that has passed, and Rashi has a couple of explanations of what he's referring to. And the first explanation is that, well, since I had the miracle of being resurrected, let me take advantage of that, and I'll just go home and not subject myself to the danger of having to die again. There's a second shot in the Rashi for those that are interested, so by all means look into it. Tyre. So he arose from his slumber, Ukme, he got up. Shaile kol sveiko dehavale upashtinu nihale. And he asked them all the questions, the doubts that he had, and he answered them. Hainu dom Rabbi Yochanan. As a result of this encounter between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Kahana, Rabbi Yochanan said, he said to his students, Dilchain Amri, I used to say that the Torah is yours, meaning you who are students of Torah in Eretz Yisrael are the master, the true masters of the Torah. But now I've discovered Dilhonhi, it's theirs, the B'nai Bovel, those that had been exiled to Bovel are the real Torah masters. And certainly as a reference to Rav Kahana. Hahu da'achvi amatakso de Rabbi Abba. It was someone who pointed out to idol worshippers the silks of Rabbi Abba. Yosef Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Hanino Bar Popi, Rabbi Yitzchok Navcho. Of these three rabbis were seated. Yosef Rabbi Ilo Gabayu, and Rabbi Ilo was seated with them. Sofor l'chuve mehadisnan. The three, the triumvirate, the three, thought to rule a ruling of guilt upon he who pointed out Rabbi Abba's silks to the idol worshippers. Based on the following, we're going to read a Tanaic source in which, damage was done without physical destruction, but through mere speech, and the physical and the source rules that the one responsible must compensate. The parallel being to this individual who pointed out the silks of Rabbi Abba to these idol worshippers, causing Rabbi Abba a loss, even though he did not physically destroy or steal the fabric of Rabbi Abba, but based on this source that we're about to read, there is guilt that he must bear and he must compensate. So they wanted to rule l'chiyuva, a guilty verdict, mehad v'snan, based on the following source. Don esadin, a judge, ziko esachayev v'chiv esazakai, he exempted the one who was really guilty and ruled guilty, the one who's really innocent. Time asator v'tir satome, he defiled that which is pure and ruled pure that which is really defiled. Masha sa'asui, the ruling stands as it is. However, v'yishali mibeso, the loss must be compensated from his own funds. So the judge who issued these incorrect rulings causing someone a loss must compensate. What do we see from here? That through mere speech and the resultant loss, compensation must be made. Amar le Rav Ila. Rav Ila disagreed with them. Hachi Amar Rav. Rav explained this Tanaic source that says Yishalem Ibeso Vushenosa Venosan Beyad. It's because there the judge actually did something of a physical nature that substantiated his ruling, and because of the physical involvement of the judge, he bears the guilt. But for merely pointing out Momon Yisrael, that is not enough to hold someone obligated to issue financial restitution. Amri lay. So they who seem to want to seek compensation for Biaba had to reevaluate their position, and therefore they said Zil Gabi Reb Shimon ben Al Yokim Reb Elozer ben Pedos, take your case. And it seems that they spoke to Rabbi Abba, who was seeking compensation. Go to Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyok and Rabbi Lozer ben Pedos. They will issue a ruling of guilt to the party that wronged you. The Daini Dina de Garmi. Because they rule upon cases of Garmi. Garmi, we mentioned in our previous year, is where a loss is caused, direct loss is caused, without, say, physical destruction of the item itself. Here, the one who pointed out the fabrics to the idol worshippers, the Rabbi Abba owned fabrics to the idol worshippers, directly was responsible for Rabbi Abba's loss without physically ruining the item, without physically stealing the item. Judging a judgment of guilt of that nature is called Dan Dino de Garmi, to rule upon cases of Garmi, causative damage. Ozalik Abayu, so Rabbi Abba went to them, Chayvei Mimas Nisan, and they ruled guilty, the party that that pointed out Rabbi Abba's fabric to the idol worshippers, based on the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Imach Masa Gazlon, Chayov Lahamid Loi Soda Acher. If the stolen field was taken by the bandits because of the first thief, where the Mishnah featured a man who stole a field and then marauders came and took it from the thief, and the Mishnah said if the marauders took it as a result of the gazlon, so that gazlon has to compensate the owner with another field, ukimna, and we set up the Mishnah, the achvi achvi, that the person described as the initial gazlon, the initial thief, didn't physically take possession of the field. He simply had pointed out the field to the marauders. And the Mishnah nevertheless ruled that offender who pointed out the field must compensate the owner of the field with a new field. Hahu Gavra, we have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara, a Nosei / Mivneh heading appears, a triangle, and you'll see a squiggle underline. These are Gimel Mikrim, the three incidents, the Osa Lekame de Rabba, and the squiggle underline highlights Osa Lekame de Rabba. So if you allow your eye to skim down, you'll see triangles with cases that came to Rabba. Ubechol Echad Mehem Abaye Meir. You'll see a diamond around Abaye's name in each case. Rabbi raises an objection to what Rabba says. And his point in each one, you'll see a double underline highlighting Tavim Matzil Atzmo B'Mamon Chavero, whereas Rabba in each one of these cases issues a ruling of innocence, of exemption, Abai says, how can you issue a ruling of exemption when in each one of the cases the person is guilty of saving himself through someone else's money? Now the Gemara. Hahu Gavra Dave Mafkid Le Kosa de Kaspa. There was an individual unto whom was entrusted a silver goblet. Siliku Ganvi Iluya. Thieves came upon it. Shokla Yahva Lahu. Bandits came to the shomer, to the one entrusted with it. The shomer took the goblet and gave it to the thieves. Also the kame de Rabba patre. The case came to Rabba and he exempted the shomer, the one entrusted with it. Omar le Abaye, how can you exempt him? Hai maxil atzmo b'momon chavero, who he's saving himself with someone else's money, with the entrusted silver goblet. And it's forbidden to do that. It's forbidden to save yourself through someone else's money. I want to point out that this issue of Matzil Asmo B'Momon Chavero was a sugya that we learned quite a bit earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Samach Omid Beis. You can look back there, 10 lines from the bottom, where the issue came up. I recommend looking into the commentary of the Maritz Chiyus on Rashi, Dibor Masel Vayatzila, that you'll find over there. Quite interesting regarding how severe this offense is. So how can you, Rabbah, how can you rule innocence when this Shomer is guilty of Matzil Atzmo L'Chavero? Elo Omar Ravashi, Chazinon. Ravashi says, rather, we have to evaluate this case as follows. We Chazinon, we look into this. E inish omid hu adaito didei osu. If the Shomer was a rich man, the thieves that came to steal from him, and therefore the giving of the cup was in fact Maxil Axmo is saving himself with Momon Chavero. The Elo, if this Shomer is not a man of means, why would the thieves come to him? What were they thinking they would find by a man of limited means? So it must be Adaita de Kaspasu, that they came initially for that silver goblet. And in that case, by handing them the silver goblet, he's not categorized as Matzil Asmo B'Mom Chavera when they were not coming to plunder him. They were simply coming for that silver goblet. The Tosfos points out when the silver goblet was given to him to watch, it was with the understanding, that if he needs to hand it over to thieves in order to save himself, once again, we're under the circumstances that this Shomer was not a man of means, the original owners took that into consideration, and it's with that in mind that he was entrusted with the silver goblet. Hahu gavra dava mafkid gabe arnika de pigim shvuyim. A man was entrusted with a pouch of money designed for freeing or redeeming captive Jews. Sliku ganvi luyop, thieves came upon him. Shokla yavoni alayo, and he took the pouch of pidyon shvuyim money and gave it to the thieves. Also lekame de rabo patre, case came to rabo and he exempted the entrusted individual. Omar le abaye, how can you exempt him? V'ho matzil atzma b'mamon chavero, he's saving himself with someone else's funds. Omar le, so he answered him. Rabbah answered, "Ein lecha pidyon shvuyim gadol mizeh." His saving himself is the ultimate in the redeeming of captive Jews, so that it wasn't a misuse of the funds which were earmarked for the purpose of pidyon shvuyim. Saving himself is the extreme case of redeeming the captive individual. Hahu gavra, there's an alternative reading that appears on the side. So what we'll do is we're going to read the alternative version that you can see on the side of our Gemara. We wrote in the Rosh's Girsa. And then we'll pick up the Gemara on the next line after the bracketed section. So we have an incident involving an individual. De Bahadi, I'm reading from the margin. De Bahadi, de Salki, Inshi, Lemavra. As people were entering a boat, Icehu Chamre, he brought his donkey, have a kamakbe le lamavra, and the added weight threatened the sinking of the boat. Osahu gavra molach le lechamra dahu gavra v'shadji lenaro v'tova. Someone came along and shoved this guy's donkey into the river, and it drowned. Thereby saving everyone from the boat sinking. Also, the case came to Rabbah and he exempted this individual for having from having to compensate for the lost donkey. But all he did was saving himself through someone else's money, through the other guy's donkey. And that's you're not allowed to do that. You must compensate for that. Omar Lei Rabo responded, and notice we have a long answer. Hi, the owner of the donkey, Meikora Roidef Have. He had the status, by bringing his donkey on board, he had the status of a Roidef. A Roidef is someone who is literally in pursuit of, is in pursuit of someone else to kill them. So the donkey represented the endangerment of all of the people on the boat. So that donkey and donkey owner were in fact pursuers. They were a roidef threatening everyone else. Rabo and now, that being the case, the fellow who came along and saved everyone by eliminating the roidef, he doesn't have to compensate. And we'll see that point in the next few lines. We say that this ruling of exemption on the part of Rabo is consistent with Rabo's teaching. Diyama Rabo, roidef shoy roidef acher chaver lahargo. Someone was pursuing a victim to kill him. Veshibras hakelim, and in pursuing him, he broke vessels. Bain shel nirdaf, bain shel kol adam. Whether the vessels belong to the one being pursued or they belong to members of the general public, potter, the pursuer, this might sound ironic, but he is exempt. He doesn't have to compensate for his breaking of the vessels. Shari mishayev benafsho. Because at that time, he's actually guilty of a capital offense, meaning he is subject to being killed. When someone is pursuing someone else to kill them, it's the obligation of anyone who has the power to do so to kill this guy. So his own life is on the line. He's liable to being killed, so he doesn't have to pay money at the very same time that he actually has to pay with his life. The nirdaf sheshiber esakelim shel rodef potter. The one being pursued, he's running away, and in running away, if he breaks the vessels of the one pursuing him, potter, he's exempt. Sholei mamono chaviv olav migufa. We don't want to create a situation where for the money of the pursuer, compensation is made. For the life of the pursuer, his life is worthless. We don't want his money to have more value than his own body, his own life. So he's not going to get compensated for the vessels that the nirdaf, that the one pursued, breaks. Aval shel kol adam chayav. Man is running for his life, and while he's running to save his life, he breaks vessels belonging to the general public. He has to compensate the general public. The osur lahatzil atzmo mol chavero. You have no right to save yourself through the money, through items belonging to others. And if you do, if you violated that which is prohibited, so you must compensate. And now we come to the case that Rabo was addressing. The roidef shehoya roidef acha roidef lahatzil. This is one who's running after the one who's trying to kill. Why is this party running after the pursuer? Because he wants to save the one being pursued. He wants to save the victim. The Shiber Kalim. And in doing this act of good citizenry, he ends up breaking vessels. Bein shel nirdaf, bein shel kolodim potter. Whether it's vessels belonging to the victim, vessels belonging to the general public, he doesn't have to compensate. V'lo min hadin, not because this is the letter of the law, elo shi'im yato imer kain, because if you're not going to say thusly, but rather you're going to obligate this good citizen in compensating for broken vessels, ein l'cha adam shematzil es chaveru min aroidef. So you won't have people from the general public that will want to save victims from pursuers. So based on, Rabbo in teaching thusly, it was consistent with his ruling before that we saw of exempting the good citizen who pushed the donkey into the water. This Mishnah, in effect, is a continuation of the Mishnah before on Kuf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, where we saw a field being stolen. And it says, Shotfa Nahar, if a river deluged the stolen field, Oimerlo, the thief says, Hare Shel Cholof Anecha, here is your field, take it as it is. We have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei Machlokes Tanoim between Rav Elozer and Chachamim, I Karka Nigzeles. Do we view land as something that is considered legally or can be stolen in legal terms? We don't mean to say that it's legal to steal, but that the concept of theft, the legal concept of theft, can apply to land. After all, land is not portable. A portable is something that you can easily see how it is stolen. It's in the domain of the owner. One day, thief comes along, and the next day it's no longer in the owner's domain. It's somewhere else, or it might have been destroyed altogether. It's no longer existent. So that's theft. What about a piece of land where you push the owner off the land? But the land is still there. It hasn't moved or changed. Is pushing off the owner from his land considered theft? Tonu Rabbanan, Hagoizel Sodeh Mechavero V'shotfa Nohar, person stole a field from his friend, and it was then deluged, flooded by a river. Chayav Lahamid Loi Sodeh Acher Divrei Rebbe Elozer. The thief has to provide another field, a new field, another field. The field that was owned and stolen is no longer accessible. It's been flooded. According to Chachamim, the thief doesn't have to provide a new field. He just says, there is your field in front of you. Go take it. What's the basis of this disagreement? Rebbe Elozer Dorash Ribui Umiuti. In a few lines, you'll see another squiggle underline and a base where we see the Rabbanan Dashi Kloli Uproti. Rebbe Elozer says that a field is subject to the laws of theft, and that states that if the stolen item is no longer extant, it's been ruined, a new item has to be provided. How does Rebbe Elozer come to this conclusion regarding land? Because his approach to the verses that deal with matters of theft, oaths and theft, verses that speak of those matters of oaths and theft, include land. How does he come to that conclusion? Because of his approach to darshaning, to expounding upon verses. What's Rebbe Elozer's approach? Ribui umiuti. And here we go with the relevant psukim. The Gemara is going to be quoting in a rather abbreviated fashion psukim from Vayikra Perek He. It opens with a quote from Pasuk Chav Aleph, and shortly we'll see from three psukim later Pasuk Chav Dalet. But it's viewed in this particular context as one continuum. So it opens with V'chichesh Bamiso, Ribui. That is a general statement. Bepikadon is an entrusted article. Mi'et, that is a... let me just correct myself. Riboy means an inclusive expression. And pikadon is a limitation expression. It's a specific example which serves to limit the inclusive expression of a chichesh b'miso. O mikol asher yishov alov l'shaker, chozar v'riba. That is once again an inclusive expression. So we started with v'chichesh b'miso, an inclusive expression. Pikadon being a exclusive or a mute, a limiting expression. And then Mikola Shi Shavalov La Sheker is again a ribui, an inclusive expression. Riba umieva riba. When you have a scriptural structure like that, riba hakol. It tends to include everything. My Ravi. Ravi kol mili. It includes all items, all possessions, including land, as being included within the realm of items that are subject to theft. My miyet, well, what's excluded after all? There isn't a limitation expression here. We have to allow it to function in some way. Mi'et shtoros. Well, what's excluded would be a bill of collection, where if a thief stole a bill of collection, so the rules stated in the posuk concerning vows and the obligation to return don't apply to the case of shtoros, documents. V'rabonon darshi kloli uproti. Looking at the same psukim with a different approach. V'chichesh is a klal, that's a general statement. B'pikadon prat, that's a detail. O mikol, chazar v'kolal, then again a general expression. Klal upratu klal, iatodon elokeina prat. The rule here says that when you have a general followed by a detail, once again followed afterwards with another general statement, iatodon elokeina prat, you are not able to include in the understanding of the Torah examples other than those that are similar to the details that are spelled out already. Maha prat. When you look in the verses in Vayikra Perakei, you will see that the prat, the examples that are cited, the detailed examples cited, have the following characteristics. Dovra metaltel v'gufo mamon. They're portables, and they have inherent value. Av kol dovra metaltel v'gufo mamon. So too, anything else that has those characteristics, that's portable and has inherent value. Yotsu karkois she'en metaltelin. To the exclusion of land. Land is not a portable. So the verses there that speak about someone swearing falsely and having to offer restitution, the laws that are featured in the Torah over there don't apply to land. Land is not a portable. Yotzu avodim shuv shelekarkos. Another item that's excluded would be slaves. Slaves are scripturally compared to land. Yotzu shtaros, we exclude documents, bills of collection, shafapisha metatlin, even though it's a portable, it's a document, ain gufon mamon. They are not of inherent value. They only represent value. The Hadetanya, we have another Tanaic source. Hagezel es hapora v'shot v'nor chayv amid lo pora divrei Belozer. Person stole a cow, it was washed away by the river, the thief has to provide a new cow. That's Rabbi Lazar's opinion. Chom omrim, omer lo harei shel cholofonecha. The chomim say, there's your cow, go take it. Hosam b'may komifligi, what's the point of machlokes over here? What's the case? Omar Rav Papa, Hosam B'mai Askinon. There, what are we dealing with? Kigon Shigozal Sode Mechavero Voisa. We continue at the top of Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Pora Revutza Bo. Veshotva Nahar. The case is not like we thought that someone came and stole a cow. That's how we translated the source. But really, it's a case where someone stole a field. And there was a cow upon the field. A cow was lying on the field. And the river inundated the field. The thief here, the one who stole the field, did not do a meshicha, didn't draw the cow. Therefore, the cow is like the land. The Rabbi Lozer letame v'rabbona letamayu. Rabbi Lozer, in obligating the thief to replace the cow, is consistent with what he said before, that that land is something that's subject to theft. And along with the theft of the land is the theft of the cow. There's, in order to violate thievery of the cow, you don't need to actually draw the cow. That's Rebbe Lozer's opinion, because of his opinion that karka nigzeles, and along with the stealing of the land, is considered the stealing of the cow. Rabbanan l'tamayu, the Rabbanan said that the land is not something that's subject to being stolen. The cow, which the thief didn't draw, is therefore not something that we hold the thief responsible for. Therefore, he never acquired the field. It didn't acquire the cow. And therefore, the Rabbanan say, Harei shalchafanecha, there it is. There's your cow. Go take it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.